Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin E, Eucharist, with Jesse Romero, Episode 34.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Tom sitting next to
Dee.
Hello, Dee.
How unusual is that?
Well, it's I'm on the right and you're on the left, depending upon how people face us. Yeah, well, it's us, and we're glad to be back on Catholic Vitamins. Today is a most special vitamin. There are certainly shows that I love for different reasons, but this show, Dee, I love because it is Catholic Vitamin E.
For Eucharist.
We're glad you're with us. And we have something a little bit different, something I've been wanting to do on Catholic Vitamins. We contacted Jesse Romero, who is a great lay evangelist, a Hispanic gentleman, a former policeman, who has become a great Catholic speaker. And one of his topics that he speaks about is the power of the Eucharist and the power of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And so he gave us permission to take one of his pre-recorded talks from Lighthouse Media and to make excerpts of that and to play it on our show. And so that's what we're going to do. We hardly give his talk justice because we had to take a very long talk apart and put in just a few segments. But I think you'll find him powerful, passionate, and persuasive. But before we get to all that, why don't we do what we normally do, Dee? Say hello and talk a little bit about what's going on.
And what did we do this past week?
Well, first, we hosted our best friends, our good friends, Deacon Don and Betty from Denver.
I was so looking forward to them coming.
Every visit is about one day too short. Should we tell people about the little sign we have in our guest bedroom? We have a sign.
When people walk into the guest bedroom and turn around to close the door, the first thing that faces them from the wall is a little sign that says, "You are leaving Monday, aren't you?"
Well, they did. They thought that we were serious, and they left pretty quickly. That doesn't apply to them. We should, Schaefer's not included.
No, that's true. And they didn't arrive until Tuesday, so.
Right. That would have been
a long visit.
Yeah, too long.
Which would have been fine with me.
About 3 days, we'd have had to wrap them in newspaper like you do. All right. We enjoyed them a lot.
But I think I decided that I should do something different with that sign. I wish we had like a little slide-in, slide-out thing where you could change
the days.
So that whatever day somebody arrived, we could put in the next day. You are leaving, you know, da, da.
Right. You just bang the microphone. See that big mark there?
Oh, no. We may have to do this over.
Well, come on. Let's keep going. At any rate, you see all the books I have here on my desk?
I do.
I have about 8 books from my library. Dee always says I have too many books. I have a number of books, and they're all on one topic.
As I'm scanning the titles, they're all about the Eucharist.
Amen.
Or related thereto.
So the top one, and not top in priority, but the top one on this pile, no wonder they call it The Real Presence, Lives Changed by Christ in Eucharistic Adoration, a book by David Pearson. Awesome book. Here's a lovely book that I have not spent enough time with. I'd like to do more, by Henry J. M. Nouwen, with Burning Hearts, a Meditation on the Eucharistic Life. I have the Introduction on the Eucharist, Redemptoris Sacramentum. I have The Breaking of the Bread by Joseph Champlin. The Hidden Manna, A Theology of the Eucharist. This was one of our books from seminary when we were going through deacon formation. Raniero Cantalamessa is the papal preacher for the household of the Pope. And he has written a book. He's got a lot of great talks and books out. He's written a book called The Eucharist, Our Sanctification, and I have that. Another book from Deacon Formation, Catholics and the Eucharist, A Scriptural Introduction by Stephen B. Clark, and The Mystery and Meaning of the Mass by Joseph M. Champlin.
You forgot to say the author of this one, but I think you'll put them all in the show notes, won't you?
I will.
James T. O'Connor is the author of The Hidden Manna, the Ignatius book.
Right. And then I have a book which I will share something, a little quote from a little later, just before we go into our first excerpt with Jesse Romero. Anything else from this week to talk about?
I feel like there's got to be, but oh, I'm going blank.
Well, we went to a Breath of Life
a
retreat house with Deacon Don and Betty.
We had a wonderful evening.
Oh, wasn't that nice? Oh, really gosh.
The intent was for us to go up, and we were just going to do a nice, leisurely, down-to-earth grilling hamburgers on the grill and eating outside on the deck. Well, it was freezing.
It was.
So we had to eat inside. And when I say freezing, I mean we looked out the window at one point, and it had started to rain, and the rain turned to snow for, 15 minutes or so?
Snow in Arizona.
I mean, this is
what's
crazy.
Going on? Well, we had a nice dinner inside. There was a lot of laughing, I can tell you that. And for four people that had never met each other, Don and Betty, Jim and Candy, I think they really hit it off well. Isn't it nice when a meal or a get-together like that happens?
Yes.
So we had a great time. And we went back and spent the evening talking a little bit until we were ready to go to bed. And then Don and Betty snuck out in the morning before we were even up for morning prayer or mass. They got on their way and they drove straight through back to Denver. Holy Moses.
They are crazy.
Yeah.
They're younger than us, though.
By a few years.
Yeah.
They must be in their 40s, right? Okay. Shh. Don't say anything. All right. Well, that is a few words about what our week ahead was like, ahead of this show, that is. And did you want to read something there?
I did. Before we go to break, we had an email from Margot B. Smith.
Oh, I like Margot.
Remember, she was our interview for Conversations. She said, just wanted to say I listened to the Dignity Catholic Vitamin and was happy to hear Gabrielle call in and share about her prayer life. That was so nice of her. And she enjoyed our Dignity guest, Ron Garcia. And in conjunction with Margot's podcast on Conversations, Daniel was our winner for that podcast. And he emailed that he received his prize. And now he knows what our secret Catholic Vitamins sweet treat is.
Remember that our sweet treat is done in honor of our faith, which is a sweet
gift from God.
I think she's got it. By Jove, she's got it.
Here, put the star right here in my forehead, right here. Okay. And he also wanted to know if we were going to CNMC. He said he's planning on going.
That's in Boston. We'll be back. A book I didn't mention, dear, is one of my favorites. I just preached on it the other day. The Lamb's Supper, The Mass as Heaven on Earth by Dr. Scott Hahn. It's my own autographed copy. I love it very much, and I enjoyed meeting Dr. Scott. And I would like to share from a letter written by Justin Martyr. In 155 AD, he wrote to the Roman Emperor describing what we can even now recognize as the Mass. Here is from the letter. On the day we call the Day of the Sun, all who dwell in the city or country gather in the same place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read as much as time permits. When the reader has finished, he who presides over those gathered admonishes and challenges them to imitate these beautiful things. Then we all rise together and offer prayers for ourselves and for all others, wherever they may be, so that we may be found righteous by our life and actions and faithful to the commandments. When the prayers are concluded, we exchange the kiss. Then someone brings bread and a cup of water and wine mixed together to him who presides over the brethren. He takes them and offers praise and glory to the Father of the universe through the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and for a considerable time he gives thanks. When he has concluded the prayers and thanksgivings, all present give voice to an acclamation by saying Amen. When he who presides has given thanks and the people have responded, those whom we call deacons give to those present the Eucharisted bread, wine, and water, and take them to those who are absent. My dear friends, from the year 155 A.D., you've just heard a description of the Mass during which the Eucharist is confected. Let us now join and listen to some segments from Jesse Romero.
All of us are called to put ourselves in the presence of Jesus Christ because that's where we find peace in a crazy world, in a world gone mad. In the Catholic Church, you've all heard and you've all seen, we do something as Catholics called Eucharistic adoration. How many of you ever been to Eucharistic adoration? Raise your hand. Okay, good. See, as Catholics, we believe that Jesus Christ is God who became a man. We also believe, because the Bible reveals this, see, revelation means something that's revealed. How do we know the things about Jesus? Because it's been revealed in the Bible. How do we know things about, for example, how do I know things about you? If you reveal it to me, if you give me your date of birth, your favorite food, your favorite color, you're revealing. How do you know things about friends, your mom and dad, your teachers? They reveal. That's what revelation means. We know the things that we know about Jesus to be true because they've been revealed to us in sacred scripture. Which, by the way, in case you didn't know, the Holy Bible is the sacred text of the Catholic Church. This is our sacred book. Other religions have other sacred books. This is our sacred book. We believe this reveals who God is and His plan and purpose for us in our life. So going back to Eucharistic adoration, we believe that Jesus Christ, during Mass, when the priest says the words of Jesus at the Last Supper and puts his hand over the bread and wine, we believe that the Holy Spirit changes that bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. That's in the Bible, Matthew 26, verse 26. And so, as Catholics, we believe that Jesus Christ is in three places at least. We believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, because the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 1, and we pray that in the Apostles' Creed, that he is a seat at the right hand with God the Father in heaven. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe that Jesus Christ lives in our heart by faith. And we also believe that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. So there are three ways that we as Catholic Christians believe that Jesus is present. He's in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. That's in the Bible. He's in our heart by faith. That's in the Bible. And He is in the Blessed Sacrament. That's in the Bible. Some of you may say, Jess, how can Jesus be in so many places at the same time? How? He's God. That's how. You and me can only be at one place at one time because we're human beings. Jesus Christ, because He's a divine person, He can be at many places, at many times, because He's God. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, I want to share with you a couple of cool stories of what I've seen, where I've seen the power of Jesus Christ in adoration. And here's a picture you've seen in the Catholic Church. The body of Christ is put in a monstrance. The word monstrance comes from a Latin word, mostrare, which means to demonstrate. We are demonstrating the radiance, the beauty of Jesus Christ to the world in a monstrance. Let me share with you a couple of stories. I arrested a young gang member a couple of years ago walking down the street. He was tagging a liquor store wall over in East Los Angeles. So I'm in my black and white. He didn't see me. I pulled up. I stopped, put the car in park. And there he is tagging his gang name and his personal moniker. So I get off the car real quick and I walk up behind him, tap him on the back. He looks at me, drops the can. I grab his arms, put him behind his back, and I put him under arrest. And he goes, oh no, I can't believe it. Oh no, I'm dumb. I'm on probation, officer. I can't believe you caught me. I'm so dumb. Oh, please, please. Let me go. I'm on probation. I can't go back to juvenile hall. So he's pleading his cause there on the street. I put him in the back seat of the car. And I'm going to take him to jail. He's ditching school. He's not attending classes. He's a constant truant. And he's just out there selling marijuana and tagging the walls over in East Los Angeles. But he wasn't what you would call like a hardcore gang member. He was kind of a wannabe. He was just getting initiated into the gangs. And so I did feel a little bit of compassion for him. So as I was driving him to the police station, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if I book you, you're going to go back to juvenile hall. You're going to violate your probation. You're probably going to go to California Youth Authority for at least 6 months to a year. I said, I know where you live, Juan. I said, I'm going to negotiate something with you. I said, I want you to meet my best friend. But my best friend has to become your best friend, because if he doesn't, and I'll know about it because I'm going to patrol by your house every day, you're two blocks away from the police station. I said, I'm going to introduce you to my best friend, and if he doesn't become your best friend, I'm going to take you to jail. He didn't understand what I meant. He goes, okay, whatever it takes, I just don't want to go to jail. I drove down the street to Our Lady of Guadalupe Church on 2nd Street. It was a Wednesday morning. And I took Juan out of the backseat of the car. He's in handcuffs. And he goes, where are you bringing me? I said, I'm going to go introduce you to my best friend. He goes, who's that? He was spooked. So I'm walking in with handcuffs into the church. Nobody's there. And it's a beautiful old traditional Catholic church, Spanish style, a lot of statues, stained glass windows, a lot of images, beautiful sanctuary with an altar rail, a high tabernacle on the back wall in the center. It's a beautiful old Spanish style church, like the ones they built in Mexico. Gorgeous. So I walk him into the church and there's candles flickering, and he's spooked. He thinks like he's like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. He's like, you could tell he was uncomfortable. He hadn't been. I said, when was the last time you've been to the church? He goes, about 6 months ago, my friend was shot. So a lot of the kids in East LA where I patrolled, they go for baptisms, weddings, and funerals. That's when they go. So I walk him into the church, and he goes, Officer Romero, where are you taking me? He's spooked. Okay, he doesn't know, like, what's this crazy cop going to do, you know? That this ain't jail. So we walk in, and we walk to the very front of the sanctuary. And I said, I'm going to take the handcuffs off, but don't you run away. If you run away, I said, I know where you live. I said, you're going to go straight to jail. Don't you run away. Took off the handcuffs. I said, get on your knees, Juan. We got on our knees. The tabernacle was right there. And they had the Blessed Sacrament in the altar exposed in the monstrance. It's a parish that has perpetual adoration. And so he knelt before me. He goes, Officer, I said, I'm scared. I said, don't be scared. I said, you see who that is up there? He goes, no. I said, that's Jesus. He goes, I've heard of him. Who told you about him? He goes, my grandma told me about him. See, a lot of the kids in the inner city, they're usually raised by their grandparents. So he goes, yeah, my grandma told me that that's Jesus right there. I said, Jesus loves you, Juan, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. I said, so I want you to repeat after me. In my police uniform, I used to carry Chaplain of Divine Mercy prayer cards. I'd pass them out to the kids in the street. A lot of cops would pass out baseball cards. I'd pass out cards of the saints or prayer cards. So I took out my Divine Mercy. I said, I want you to repeat after me. So I took them through about a 5-minute meditation called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I said, you got to pray. I said, we're going to ask Jesus to come into your life. So we prayed, and within about 2 minutes, you could see this wannabe gang member that was right there on a Wednesday night with a cop that was about to take him to jail in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He was crying, he was weeping, and he was praying. He looked at the card, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. He was praying. He was crying. I looked at him, I said, Juan, why are you crying? He goes, Officer Romero, he goes, I have never felt so much love in my life like I feel right now. And you know what he told me? He goes, I don't want to leave this place. He goes, I don't want to ever leave this place. This kid that was unchurched, whose parents were unchurched, spending 5 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament, spoke to his soul like no other experience that he's ever felt on planet Earth. We all walked out. I put the handcuffs back on him, took him in the back seat of the car. I ended up taking him to school. I ended up following up on him. He ended up, instead of joining the local gang that was trying to initiate him, he ended up joining a confirmation class down the street, and I ended up becoming his sponsor. Since then, graduated from high school, graduated from college, and he started his own business over in Southern California. Young, successful Latino businessman, he tells people that if it would not have been for him being introduced to Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament at the age of 16, he would have been in prison like his father and his siblings. And now he's a rock-solid young Catholic man who's married and has 2 children. Several years ago, I was over talking at a conference over in Attleboro, Massachusetts. It was the Steubenville Conference in Attleboro, Massachusetts. There's about 5,000 Catholic teenagers. Now, the evening is upon us. The priest, Father Dave Pivanka, he was going to come out with the Blessed Sacrament and process. There's about 4,000 or 5,000 teenagers in a big tent. I was one of the speakers. I was sitting in the front with Father Stan Fortuna, and we were there in the front row. He had just gave a presentation. I gave a presentation. Father Dave is going to come in procession with the Blessed Sacrament. The teen choir is starting to do some praise and worship as the procession is starting. And all of a sudden, in the front row, I saw a young man dressed in all black. He had a hood over his head, long, scraggly hair. He looked like he didn't want to be there. You could tell he didn't fit in. And he just sat there kind of to himself, had some body piercing in his face. He just stood up like a sore thumb. Well, in the conference, there was also another kid, 12-year-old kid, that jumped the fence to come in. And the conference was for 13 to 19-year-olds. This 12-year-old jumped the fence and snuck in. And they had escorted him out like 3 times. But this 12-year-old kid says, I will have none of it. I'm going to be at this teen conference. So he jumped the fence, and he was there again hiding. Blessed Sacrament was being processed by Father Dave Pivanka. The lights went off, and all of a sudden, the choir started doing praise and worship, and the teens started singing praises as the Blessed Sacrament was being processed inside. And all of a sudden, the young man that was dressed in Gothic, he threw himself on the ground and he started just rolling around, writhing in pain, rolling around like a snake on the floor and cussing, using all kinds of expletives, all kinds of profanities, cussing and swearing and making a big scene. People were looking at him, and he was distracting 5,000 teenagers that were praising God as the Lord was being processed in the Blessed Sacrament. So the deacon and the priest said, hey, Jess, you're an ex-cop. What do we do here? So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, how do we handle this so we don't disrupt the flow of the praise and worship where there's 5,000 teenagers that are focusing right now their hearts and their minds on Jesus Christ, but now the devil has thrown a curveball at his conference, and now we have somebody trying to draw attention to himself. So I'm trying to see how to handle this in a way that would be prudent, that would be Christian. And so as I'm brainstorming with a priest and a deacon about how to handle this kid, all of a sudden, this 12-year-old kid that wasn't supposed to be at the conference, like a prophet, he stood up on the chair. And he saw Jesus being processed in the Blessed Sacrament. He had faith, real faith. He looked at Jesus being processed in the Blessed Sacrament. He looked at that kid dressed in black, this kid dressed in Gothic, and he said, Jesus! Jesus! I stood there, Father Stan Fortuna, the deacon that was there, we looked like, When that 12-year-old jumped on that chair and he rebuked his actions in the name and in the power of Jesus, that kid went limp. He fell asleep. He went unconscious right there. Big Spanish Catholic conference over in the Los Angeles Sports Arena. There's about 20,000 people go to this conference every year. The LA Sports Arena, where the Lakers play, is packed with Catholics Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at this annual Catholic conference. And so I went. I was there with my wife. I was a newlywed. I was with my mom and dad. It was a beautiful conference, praise and worship, confessions, skits, drama, powerful preaching. And in the evening, we were going to end the Saturday night conference with adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. The priest, Father John, they turned off the lights in the sports arena. They put two spotlights. Father John started walking. He was flanked by six altar boys with candles and with the incense. And he walked in holding Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. Everybody, 20,000 Catholics in the sports arena, got on their knees. And they were praying in symphony and harmony. And as the priest was walking in, the floodlights were right on the Blessed Sacrament, right on Jesus. So he was the focus. The choir was playing the music real softly, and everybody was in prayer. Father Juan Santillan walked from the back of the LA Sports Arena to the front, to the center stage, and there was an altar. And he went in and he put Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. And then he got on his knees and he took the microphone and he said, "Jesus is here tonight in Los Angeles in the sports arena. And Jesus Christ is here because he wants to heal people." And so I'm listening. I'm in my early 20s. And he says, "And there are people here that need to be healed of so many addictions." He goes, "There are people here that are addicted to violence. There are people here in this Catholic conference right now that have guns, brass knuckles, daggers, nunchucks, and have all kinds of devices, all kinds of weapons to hurt people." He goes, "In the name of Jesus and in the presence of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you right now to give up your addiction to violence and come right now and put your weapons here at the foot of the altar." Now I'm sitting up there in the nosebleed section and I'm like, "Father, this is a Catholic conference. What do you mean there's people here with weapons? You're at the wrong conference, Father. What kind of a call was that?" All of a sudden, no less than 200 people walked out of their seats from different parts of the 20,000 seating conference. They walked down and they're walking slowly, and you can see the shame, and they're holding their head down, and they're walking and they're putting little 22 derringers, they're putting brass knuckles, they're putting all these little devices that they probably bought from pawn shops or little head shops, and they put them right there, a little pile right underneath the Blessed Sacrament. I'm like, "Wow, man, I can make a mass arrest right now. I could bust about 200 people. And the priest said, "There are people here that are addicted to narcotics. There are people here that got coke and heroin and meth and ice. There's people here that have marijuana and PCP with them right now. And you're living a double life. You want to be a follower of Christ, but you want your narcotics too. And you're dancing with the devil. You're flirting with evil. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you right now to come up here right now and put the narcotics here and turn your life over to Christ." Now I'm sitting up there, I'm saying, "Oh, come on, Father. How can you say that? What Catholic is going to have narcotics at a Catholic conference? Come on. These are solid people. These are God-loving, God-fearing people." No less than 500 people walked out of the seats of this 20,000 capacity Catholic conference in Los Angeles, and they were reaching in their purses, in their jackets, in their pockets. They were putting every kind of narcotic known in the street underneath Blessed Sacrament. There was a pile about this high of guns and knives and narcotics. I'm up there, I'm going, I'm scandalized. I'm like, is this, you know, some kind of gangbanger conference or some kind of mafia conference? This is a Catholic conference. The priest says, there are people here that are addicted to pornography, are addicted to all kinds of sexual disorders. And I'm telling you right now, in the presence of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I want you to surrender your life to Him. He's here right now, and He will give you the power to set you free. Come over here. If any of you are addicted to pornography, and put your paraphernalia right here and open your hearts forever to Jesus. Now I'm up there, I'm saying, come on, Father, now you really went big. Who's going to admit that they're at a Catholic conference and that they're addicted to porn? You know, what are they going to have, their Bible in their penthouse over here? They're not going to show it to you. Hundreds of people walk down and relinquish their pornography, pornographic paraphernalia. And I'm sitting up there, I'm like, there was a mountain of magazines, drugs, guns, knives, nunchucks this high underneath the Blessed Sacrament. This was 1983. It was at that moment where I said, see, because I always knew the Catholic teaching, I always knew that we believed that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament. I believed it in theory. But when I saw that display, I said, wait a minute. If that's bread up there in that monstrance, there is no way that bread has the power to bring you to publicly display your sins and to surrender. Bread does not have that power. However, if that is Jesus, like the Catholic Church has said for 2,000 years, like the Bible has stated for 2,000 years, if that is Jesus, then now I understand why people right now are being set free of sin and addictions, because it is the living Jesus Christ who has the power to draw people to His divine magnetic love and to set them free from the shackles of sin. And so I sat there 23 years ago and I said, yep, this has to be Jesus.
You're listening to Catholic Vitamins, a show to help you revitalize and enliven your faith. And you've been listening to some stories and testimony from Jesse Romero. Let's pick up one more short story from Jesse, a story from antiquity about St. Clair.
St. Clair, in the Middle Ages. She was old and feeble and sick in her convent, and her sisters barged into a room and told her, St. Clair, St. Clair. The Muslim Turks are about 5 miles away, and they're coming in to raid the city. Now, the nuns knew what happened in the Middle Ages when the Muslim Turks would come in and overrun a city. And so the nuns knew that there was no men to defend them in the convent, and they told St. Clair, who was feeble and sick and in bed, the Muslim Turks are coming. Mother Clair, they're 5 miles away. There's no men to protect us in the city. Everybody's leaving. They're going to raise the city. They're going to destroy it. St. Clair told her nuns, pick me up. Pick me up out of bed. They helped her out of bed. Take me to the chapel. They walk St. Clair over to the chapel. Old and feeble. She went before the tabernacle. She had the key. She opened up the tabernacle and she took out our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and placed Him on a monstrance. She told the nuns, hold my arms up, take me outside to the courtyard. They go, Sister Claire, but you're sick. You can't hold the Blessed Sacrament. You're too weak. Hold my arms up. St. Claire is escorted out with her nuns on two sides with the Blessed Sacrament. And now she's outside in the courtyard. And there's 100 nuns on each side, afraid, huddled next to Mother St. Claire. The Muslims are coming on horses, riding into the convent and into the city. There's 100 full-habited nuns there. St. Claire says, raise my arms. They raised her arms. She held the monstrance up there. And the Muslims approached and stopped about 50 yards in front of her. And St. Claire said, behold Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who died for your sins and who takes away the sins of the world. And she held the monstrance and she didn't budge. The captain, after about a minute of silence and there's a complete standstill, he raises his finger and he tells 5,000 horsemen, let's go. They turned around and left and never came back. St. Claire believed that what she was holding was not bread. She knew that what she had in her hands was the Son of God Himself. And by faith, she thwarted that attack.
Well, dear, you were listening as I put together some of those segments. I had to sort of surgically cut some of the segments from Jesse Romero's talk, but what a passionate speaker about the Eucharist. And, you know, you and I did a little bit of joint ministry this morning after Mass. A lady that we know and care for a great deal needed to meet with us.
If listening is a ministry, that's what I did.
Yeah, that's what we both did this morning. And we met with her, and we can't go into any details, but there had been a suicide in the family, and I don't mean to put our listeners on a downer, but from Henry J.M. Nouwen, he said in his book, we come to the Eucharist with hearts broken by many losses, our own as well as those of the world. And that's what it was this morning. That lady that we had to talk with this morning wanted to talk with. Her first thing after getting the news, first thing this morning, was to come to Mass and to receive the Eucharist. That's where her strength came from. So, any more thoughts on the Eucharist?
Yes, when we first started talking about the Eucharist as a subject, as a vitamin, I immediately thought of several stories that came to my mind. I'm not even going to go into them, but it came to my mind of people who have come into the church, people that I personally know who have come into the church and who have said that the Eucharist was probably the most important thing in their walk or in their decision.
Sure, sure. Every once in a while, as a minister of the Eucharist, me being a deacon at Mass, every once in a while I'll come to someone, or they will come to me, and they will have tears running down their face. This happened with one lady in particular back in Colorado. It was very touching. I love the Eucharist. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of the Eucharist. And I hope that you listeners will have been given the gift of some uplift in your faith walk by our concentration on Catholic Vitamin E, the Eucharist, with Jesse Romero. Dear, what else do we want to do?
I have something to read, don't you?
I do. Excuse the paper. This is from a lady named Nicole. I think it's Sage, but I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. She said, we'd love a copy of the All Things Guy book. Hopefully you'll pick us. Well, Nicole, we'll put your name into an ever-growing basket.
It's already in there.
Yeah. Okay. And what this is about, folks, is a couple, three, four shows ago, we interviewed the co-author,
Cheryl
Dickow, of All Things Guy, a great book for young men ages about 8 to 12 or 13. And it's Catholic in nature, but it is good stuff for young men. And I hope you'll go back and listen to that show. They've generously donated a copy. And for one more week, we're accepting either emails or voice feedbacks. And we'll put your name into the basket. And then next weekend, dear, we'll draw a name, okay?
Yes.
Just send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. and say All Things Guy, or call our feedback number 206-350-3789. What else do we have?
We have some new Facebook friends, as always.
Okay.
You have Cindy, I have Elizabeth, and Lavana. And Lavana said also she loves our podcast.
Oh, is there room for her in the will?
Oh, gosh. We need to talk to a lawyer.
Our kids want to talk to a lawyer.
Right. Yeah, we pushed them out. You've got some Twitter followers. You want
Deacon,
to read them?
Deacon Blue, who's John Brasley in New York, Patrice Egging, Diaconia, Tom Lang, and Real Alternatives. Thank you.
And a new Plurk follower.
Who is that? Let me see.
Roger.
Roger, oh yes, Roger in Canada.
Is following me on Plurk.
Thanks for joining up, all of you. What else have you got?
Before we draw, which we're going to do in just a minute, for Eucharist, we had quite a few correct guesses, which I knew we would.
Almost oodles.
Yeah, but I just laughed when I had an email here from Greg. He says, if it's not Eucharist, I'm a monkey's uncle.
Hey, before I forget and we pull, before we pull that name, I want to say that we're continuing to add to our Father O'Doherty library. That's on the tab on our website that says Father O'Doherty's page. And I've added a couple more stories. You can just click on them and listen to them for free. I have to tell you, folks, that with our little statistics counter, we're finding that a lot of you are going onto that page and listening to Father O'Doherty, and we are so very happy and pleased. What I've added is a story, Dee, I bet you'll remember this from Florida, about the construction worker who gave his life to Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful story. And then the story of the holy couple in Bethlehem with the title of the story, God Didn't Spare His Only Son. So we invite you each week or as often as you can to go over and check Father O'Doherty's page and listen to another sermon, homily, or talk or story from a great pastor, a great priest, whom we love very much.
I need to listen to a few of those this week, maybe while I'm ironing.
Oh, right.
Anything like that would make ironing so much nicer, so much easier to take. Are we ready to draw?
We are.
Okay.
Shake that basket, woman.
Here is the best.
All right. I'm pulling a name, and I've pulled one, and it is
Carlos Torres. The Catechist Corner.
Hey, thank you for taking a guess at Catholic Vitamin E for Eucharist. You were right on, and a number of folks were also right. Sorry we can't give a prize to everyone, but Carlos will get our unique, legendary, now trademarked, I've registered this with the trademark office, our sweet treat, and we'll get that once we get his mailing information. Dear, are we ready for Vita Minute? I think you had something.
I have a Vita Minute this week.
It's over there.
I haven't done it for a while, and it comes off of our little Madonna House daily calendar, which I've used quite a few times. But there's so many gems on this calendar, and I like this one. God never refuses a prayer for the deepening and growth of faith. Prayer is the food that will make faith grow, strengthen it, root it with deep and lasting rootage into our hearts.
All right. And I think we're ready for Vita Scrabble, Dee.
Vita Scrabble. Our next vitamin is going to be vitamin F. We'll end in P.
Like Peter or Paul.
Yes. And 10 letters altogether. Starts with F, ends in P, 10 letters long.
And so, new listeners, if you were listening to the show here, you heard that Carlos won the prize. That's because he took a guess at the vitamin for next show, and his name went into a basket, and we pulled his name. So if you do that, just send us an email or a voice feedback, and you have a chance for winning something that is sweet and neat.
And just to repeat, the email address is catholicvitamins@gmail.com, and the feedback number is 206-350-3789. And you can call that any hour of the day. It does not ring into our house here and will not wake us up. You can call us at 3 o'clock in the morning if you want. Do you have something else?
I do. I have a quick thing to close with. This is also from Henry J.M. Nouwen, and he said, "There is a yearning for love, unity, and communion that doesn't go away. If you've been away from the Eucharist, perhaps you might consider reconciliation, maybe talking to a priest, a spiritual advisor, and working your way back to the Eucharist. And don't forget the power of a spiritual communion if there's a reason that you're unable to receive Jesus physically." So I think we're about done, dear.
I think, too. I'm just going to remind people, because I haven't said this in a while, that if you're on iTunes looking up podcasts or downloading your latest podcast, take a few minutes and go to Catholic Vitamins and give us a review. That would be very, very helpful. And if you're on Facebook, go to Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page and become a member. We're up to 108.
Love it, love it. Well, I guess that's about it. Thanks, friends. And don't forget to love Jesus in the Eucharist and spend some time in adoration.
Bye. Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Focus on the night. Just a little while, let your breathing slow, let your worries go, close your eyes and rest for a while, focus on the now, on the here. What lies ahead? We can't change what came before. Living in the here and now opens us to so much more. Just a little while, let your breathing slow, let your worries go, close your eyes and rest for a while, focus on the now, on the here and now. Here and now. your breathing slow. Let your worries go. Close your eyes and rest for a while. Focus on the now, on the here.